someday, maybe if we have enough time, I'd like to try to disentangle this astonishing statement of Paul. He says that God had made Christ sin. Scholars have a wonderful time with that. But today I'd like to go back to this, what is probably the most wonderful parable in the entire New Testament, the so-called prodigal son, which somebody has rightly called, it should be called, the prodigal father. There's an anecdote that I've told a bunch of times in this setting, and it has to do with Marcello, who came home from school when he was in grade 2 or 3 and proudly announced to me, "Well, Miss So-and-so told me that we can't love anybody if we can't love ourselves." I was outraged. I was really angry. On two counts. First of all, the last thing an 8 or 9 year old kid needs to know is that they have to love themselves. They don't have a problem with that. But far more importantly, is that it's dead wrong. It is dead wrong. And the reason that was brought to mind is that in class this past week, one of the most sophisticated of the people in this class, who has lots of experience and is older than most of the people in the class, said exactly the same thing. "Well, I can't love anybody if I don't love myself." That's rubbish. It totally misdirects life. Why? Because you can't love yourself if you're first not loved. That's the priority. You cannot love yourself unless you first believe that you are loved. Full stop. There is no way of circumventing that. There is no way of artificially stimulating that conviction. And therefore, all this loving of oneself is basically disguised self-absorption. And that's why we are so bad at loving anybody else, because we do not believe that we are loved. I've been wrestling with this text for years and years. In fact, when I was in Zambia, I spent a whole term with the deacons just analyzing this parable. It is so rich. But that's exactly what it's all about. You see, the context of the parable is, again, the good people, the Pharisees, the truly pious ones. And they were outraged that Jesus should do anything that a Jew should not do, namely to eat with people who are publicly evil, public sinners. So Jesus tells this story, the very point of which, of course, the crucial point of this entire story is this line that the father is given to say to the elder son, "You don't have to win my love. Love is not a prize for good behavior. Love is a gift. And if it's not that, it doesn't exist." And that's why the son was so resentful. "I've been cheated. I've been defrauded. I've worked all these years like a slave for you, and you don't even pay any attention to me." He got it all wrong, you see. Because the Pharisees believe, like most of us do, there is no free lunch. Life is always quid pro quo. You don't get something for nothing. And the whole outrageous claim of the life of Jesus is that you do. And not just anything, but the most foundational thing. To believe that we are loved. You can't construct that. You know? cannot make that up. You cannot work, no matter how hard, to convince yourself that that is the case. It's simply a recognition. The moment of awareness. That's what the whole career of Jesus is reducible to, I think. All these bozos, boneheads, weirdos, crooks, Peter, Judas. You think they were lovable? In and of themselves? No, because they didn't believe they were lovable. So the whole point of the Christian enterprise is the attempt to somehow seek this God who we believe was manifested in the life of Jesus, who loves us, despite ourselves, before we've done anything, before we've lifted a finger. And so this this amazing awareness, I think, explains most of the grief and misery that we experience and inflict on each other in the world. Because we really don't believe it. We really don't believe that we are loved. Or we really do think that we have to earn God's love. Love is not a prize. It is a gift or it is nothing. And that's why we so badly love each other. Because love between us human beings, most of the time, always has the subtext, and what's in it for me. And the simple fact, at least from Jesus' point of view, that was, you don't have to do anything like that. Only love liberates. Only love liberates. And the paradoxical thing is that you cannot extort love. You cannot pretend. You cannot be transformed as I look at myself until in faith and hope I come to that transformative conviction that I really am loved by God. And if Lent doesn't move us from here a little closer, because that's all it's going to be. It's just going to be a little closer to that conviction. If the search for God does not result in that kind of awareness, then we're looking for the wrong thing and in the wrong place. And nothing's going to happen, except we're going to be even more interiorly distorted than we already are. And my God in heaven, that's a fairly messy situation once you examine it. So, to see Jesus as God's gift to us, we didn't deserve him. We didn't work for him. That's what Lent is supposed to bring closer to believing.